Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. This is Trevor Davis, wealth coach up here at Total Wealth Academy, and happy Wednesday to everybody tuning in for the first time. And if you are tuning back in, welcome back. Today I want to start off with this quote by Einstein, which is, the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. If you're tuning in to learn something new, I want you to learn something new. I want you to have that light bulb moment that's going to give you the energy to make a change, to get different results, because that's the smart thing to do. Being smart isn't necessarily having the good grades or being able to solve math problems super quickly. It's really, are you able to detach your ego from who you are right now enough to be able to make changes when you need to do so? And you probably know that change is one of the most painful things you can experience, because your body is going to be very much attached to whatever it is you're doing now. So if you want to change something, it is going to be a painful process. Now, I've been looking at the stock market lately, and I believe that we are going to be heading for a very serious adjustment here by the end of the year or the beginning of next year. And it's going to be very, very rough, because the last time we had a recession was now 14 years ago. And the previous longest gap between a recession was 11 years, which was basically from 1990 to 2001. And of course, you're going to see little ups and downs here and there during those periods, folks. But when we're talking about major downturns, the previous biggest gap was that one, which was 11 years. And maybe as time goes on and our economic policies get better and better, and our economy just gets stronger, maybe the gaps will end up getting bigger. But the way that we've seen the markets work is that there's always going to be ups, there's always going to be downs. And whenever someone's strategy in investing for their future is only to speculate in the stock market, they're trying to buy low and sell high, and that's it. I mean, that's the beginning and the end of their entire financial strategy. And we can try and glorify it by saying we go on to all of these websites all day, we have a whole computer system set up with four monitors that shows what every stock is doing at any time, we subscribe to all of these stock market websites and this, that, and the other, but all it boils down to is what is actually going to make you money. I mean, we can spend all of our time doing this stuff, but are you making money in the stock market, or are you not making money in the stock market? Most people are having the up and down experience in accordance with the stock market, because that's exactly what the stock market is doing. Right now, article published yesterday and updated 16 minutes ago as I refreshed the page, is that the Dow Jones fell about 200 points to start June, to start today, because there are now worries about our economic growth by some of the Fed's policies and by the war in Ukraine and by energy concerns as a result of Russia's war. Something that the CEO of JP Morgan has just said, his name is Jamie Dimon, he said on Wednesday that the economy is headed for a hurricane, quote. You better brace yourself, Dimon said at a financial conference. JP Morgan is bracing ourselves, and we're going to be very conservative with our balance sheet. So if JP Morgan is raising alarm bells, ringing alarm bells, sounding the call, you need to start making some changes here. Because JP Morgan is one of the biggest companies in the world, and they are a bank. All they do all day, every day, is financial transactions and analysis of the financial world. And they work hand in hand with the federal government of the United States of America. So they know exactly what's going on. And if he can be so candid at this time as to say that we're going to be heading for a disaster like a hurricane, you need to listen. You need to pay attention. Because something very bad is going to happen here very, very soon. And when we talk about time frame, again, maybe very soon is too harsh. I think it is going to be by the end of the year or the beginning of next year. We'll see what happens. I don't know the exact answer. Nobody does, because we're talking about the entire economy. But make sure that you're bracing yourself correctly for a down market at this time. I'm going to give this warning to people that are just in stocks at this time, because if you're going to continue doing this strategy, and I know that no matter what I do or what I say, I cannot tell and convince everybody that they need to invest in real estate. Some people are not going to do that in their entire life. That's reality. That's human nature. But when your advisor is going to be the CEO of JP Morgan, that's an extreme level of qualification. You are going to have to make some stock portfolio changes here to take advantage of the down market. And doing low buying and selling high, well, that's not going to work. If you want to do something crazy like they did in The Big Short, you're going to have to do some short selling perhaps. But that's extremely risky in and of itself, just like all stock investments. But if you're going to do this, you're going to have to do something like that, or switch it to stocks that hopefully won't lose as much value. I mean, I'm sure your financial planners are doing their best to give you advice in this situation, but it's very, very difficult to do well in the stock market during a down market because the prices are so low. But why are you going to put up with this over and over and over again and deal with this stress? I mean, are you consciously choosing to do this, or are you just doing this because this is what everybody else told you growing up, and this is what everybody seems to be doing all the time, and this is what you're exposed to on a regular basis? I mean, stocks are easily the most exposed investment in the United States. I mean, by far, by a long shot. It's not real estate. I mean, the information and the amount of news about stocks vastly outnumbers the news and information about real estate. And in my experience being in the real estate business, you know, I'm surrounded by real estate on a regular basis, and I see how much real estate there is, but it only takes a couple minutes to go through the news cycle and see what are they talking about 9 times out of 10 when it comes to finances. Stocks, 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 over and over and over again. So you don't have to get out of stocks completely. That's not going to be my advice. But you have to start cutting your risk and bracing yourself for these ups and downs by investing in something like real estate. Because as Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan said, we are heading for a hurricane. So get ready for this hurricane.
Were you told that it's normal to lose money in a down market? That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com, that's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. So as we're talking about the stock market and the hurricane that is coming, according to the CEO of JP Morgan, what we have to do is prepare for these hurricanes. If we're going to choose to invest in the stock market, we have to also choose to invest in something that weathers these hurricanes much more effectively, which in our minds here at Total Wealth Academy is unquestionably real estate. Even just one house or two houses is going to be a significant wealth producer that gets you cash flow in up, down, and transitional markets that builds equity on a consistent basis that is paid off every month by your renter. You know, this is something that I love to tell people, is that when you have a renter in your rental house, let's just say you have one single house, in that rental rate, you have a cash flow. Your goal of cash flow is going to be around $300 once all expenses are accounted for, including maintenance and including vacancy. That's your goal. So you're making $300 in cash flow consistently, but in that payment is the mortgage, and in a mortgage is the principal. So your renters are literally paying off your house for you. Keep that in mind whenever you decide to invest in real estate, because that's one of my favorite things that really seems to push people to go into their first piece of real estate and start taking action once they realize that, look, I'm going to have to put this money down, of course, as an investment. But this is not money coming out of my pocket anymore. It's literally being paid by my tenant. That's not really an advantage that you're going to get in something like stocks, because the stock market involves 100% of your money. And if you're going to take a loss, that's your loss. If you're going to get a gain, that's your gain. And you don't have any control over what is actually going on. I mean, I can tell you that as I stare at this Dow Jones Industrial Average Index on CNNBusiness.com, where this is how much control I have of the stock market right now. Nothing. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers going down right now, down. It literally just changed again. It changes about, looks like, every 5 seconds. Today's change is down 194.23 points with a total year to date of negative 9.21%. So that's a loss. That's people losing money as we speak. Literally, people that are invested in the companies that are part of the Dow Jones are losing money as we speak. And that's not even taking into account the inflation with that amount yet. This is what we're looking at, is losing 9.21%. That's not profit. That's not profitable. That's not a sustainable practice. You should be pissed off at the prospect of losing money in investments. This is not a matter of course. This is not normal. It's not normal for people to have an expectation that they're going to lose money over and over and over again. Like, that's not fun. That's not cool. That's not reasonable. You don't go into a business expecting to have consistent terrible loss periods and then astronomically great periods, and hopefully it balances out. You want it to be stable. You want it to be reliable, safe. And if we talk about safety, real estate is far safer than the stock market. Why? One, because you can control your real estate. Two, because real estate makes money in both the up market and the down market. When we talk about controlling real estate, one, you're going to analyze the deal from inside and out before you decide to even put an offer in on the deal. So you're going to look at a property, look at its price, look at its ARV and after repaired value, look at what it needs in rehab, look at what that's all going to mean for your out-of-pocket costs, and find out with rental comps what it's going to rent for, what it's going to be valued at, and how much equity capture you're going to get as a result of that value once it's fixed up. So you have reasonable predictions in place from the get-go, and your behavior as a landlord, as a real estate professional, is going to directly influence your experience in the real estate investing field. This is not going to be something that's going to be entirely dependent on the ups and downs of the market, because you have control of this, Are you part of the market? Of course. But your value and your experience is based on your responsibility, not something as out of control as the stock market. And when it comes to making money in both the up and down markets, we make money in the up market just like everybody else because there's so much market confidence. You know, a lot of people have made a lot of money in the up market for selling their properties during the up market. It's a great time to sell, kind of similar to the way you look at stocks. I mean, if you bought a house during a low market and you sold it during a high market, well, congratulations, you would have made a lot of money and you would have just done a very similar strategy to the stock market. But that's pretending like we didn't also do a rehab on the property that built up value within a month or two after purchasing it. That's secured on that property because of the improvements and because of how it's valued at that degree of improvement when compared to the other houses in the neighborhood that are already improved. So when I look at a house that's going to be worth $400,000, I'm looking at other houses that are worth $400,000 in the neighborhood that are the same size, same bedrooms and bathrooms, so I know what I'm getting into from the get-go. And I don't have to be worried about, is it going to be worth that? Well, I know it's going to be worth that because I've seen the comparables with at least three other houses in the same neighborhood of the same size. Then a down market comes. Why are people in stocks miserable when a down market comes? Most of us already know this because of our exposure to stocks basically since we started walking. We don't like the down market because the stock values are low and we lose a lot of money because our stock portfolios have reduced in value. Okay, but we knew the down market was going to come, didn't we? There's always going to be a down market. I mean, I have a very, very hard time processing the information I get from people that ask, is there going to be a down market? Is there going to be an up market? I mean, to put it into perspective from the way I'm looking at it, that's like asking, is the sun going to come up in the morning? Is the sun going to go down in the afternoon, in the evening? Of course it's going to do those things. I mean, I know it's a little less inevitable because it's a human system, the stock market, but that's literally what we've seen ever since these values have been established. And we've seen economic abundance and economic depressions in every single civilization that's ever existed since the dawn of man. We don't necessarily have the completely verified numbers like we do now to completely back everything up, but when we talked about ancient Rome and we look at their economic depression, that was really the biggest reason why it fell. We knew the economic situation, even though we didn't have a Dow Jones Industrial Average to show the actual numbers. We just knew that people weren't harvesting enough food, the value of their gold was going down, there was low confidence because the entire empire was getting raided over and over again. So people didn't want to invest and people didn't want to build new things because why would you build something in a failing empire if it's just going to get destroyed by some barbarians in the next couple of weeks? But let's step back now to the modern day when we know exactly what our values are. We have good information about how the market works. We know for a fact that there are ups and downs, so you have to plan for this correctly. In a down market in real estate, most of us are happier with our investments. Why? Because now we have lower prices in the market. As investors, when prices are lower, it's easier for us to purchase properties. Attached to lower prices is increased inventory. You've probably seen over and over again over the past 2 years since COVID started how there's been low inventory in the housing market. Low inventory everywhere. 1 month or 2 months less than what we're used to for a regular market. In a down market, we're seeing inventory that's going to be 2 months or 3 months higher than normal. So not only are the prices lower, but we have more opportunities to invest which is another thing that pushes prices down further. Of course, if you know your basic economics, supply and demand, high supply, low demand, that actually increases your low, significantly decreases your prices from two angles rather than just one. When people are in an economically depressed situation, people are typically losing their jobs and they have to move. They get corporate restructured, so they end up not being able to afford their mortgage payments, and they end up having to get foreclosed on. And then that also increases the inventory because you have people that have to sell their houses, sometimes in foreclosure situations, and they become renters. So you have more renters in the market, and guess which market is easier to rent your houses in? The down market in most situations. Because you have people that need to move out from an ownership situation to a rental situation. So what ends up happening in the real estate world is that at the very least we're happy in the down market just as much as we are in an up market. But most people in real estate are actually happier during a down market. So let's pretend that we did stocks and real estate and we get to be super happy in an up market and super happy in a down market. Wouldn't that be the best of both worlds? Like I said, I'm not telling you to sell all of your stocks. I'm not telling you to buy 100 houses. But grab some stocks, grab some real estate, and take advantage of both markets, and definitely take advantage of an investment that's got you covered in both the up and down markets. Keeping in mind that the stock market is only making about 7% over the past 50 years since the end of World War II. And we're in a situation now where we're at negative 9.21% year to date. So since January 1st to now, we've lost 9.21% in the Dow Jones. Some of these stocks are going up a little bit, but this is your average overall. So people are overall not very happy in the stock market. So everybody, if you are going to make a consideration to do something wise for your financial future, make sure you're going to get some real estate into your portfolio. When we talk about the rates of return in real estate, you're not looking at 7%. You're looking at 20%, 30%, 50%. And yes, in many situations, 100% or more rates of return on your money. And in many cases, 200% or more. And that's going to be covered in the up and down market. So make sure you're looking into this real estate as soon as possible and get started ASAP.
If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. We've basically beaten up the stock market a little bit. But I hope you are considering doing some real estate and understand that I'm not the one telling you to sell all of your stocks. But I am giving you some pause, I hope, into how stocks are working and how there is the inevitable downturn that's going to come. There is always going to be a downturn, no matter what. And here's something that I really hope you will consider and really help you make a connection with the nasty reality of what happens in these recessions from people that are not correctly invested, not invested at all, plan poorly, or quite frankly are tossed out, laid off, fired for corporate restructuring purposes. But according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland, the number of Americans who lost their homes due to foreclosure from the 2007-08 collapse was 3.8 million. So that's not necessarily going to be the full scope of the disaster that was 2007 and 2008 either, because that's full on foreclosure. I would be very interested to hear how many people faced pre-foreclosure and what percentage that involved as well. But 3.8 million right off the bat is a lot of people from one economic collapse. Now, foreclosure is a very severe credit hit. And what I understand is that if someone gets foreclosure on their credit, they cannot purchase a property for 7 years. That is a huge setback. I mean, if someone lives to the age of 70, I mean, that's 10% of their lifespan that they cannot buy a house again. That's a long time. But that is exactly what happens during economic recessions. We're not praying for the recession to happen because we want this to happen to people, and no one in real estate is doing that. But this is just the way that this works. The way that people bet on the market, the way that people don't plan correctly, it causes disasters across the world, not just in the United States. But people are going to have a lot of pain during this next recession. And unless you want to be one of those people, you're going to need to start taking action as soon as possible. Why? Because no one knows exactly when this next recession is going to come. You know, I've thrown out it's going to be at the end of this year, it's going to be the beginning of next year. But I don't know that for sure. No one does. I would take the advice of someone like the CEO of JP Morgan if he starts throwing out some more specific time frames, but he probably won't, because as someone in that position, he doesn't want there to be a dramatic run on the market because of something that he said. Someone in that position has a large amount of responsibility for taking care of their company and creating a positive, confident environment for the market, even as we transition into a down market. Because as bad as 2007 and 8 was, it was not as bad as the Great Depression that happened during the 1930s after the stock market collapse in October of 1929. That was an incredible worldwide disaster. That so far has been the worst economic depression we've experienced. And I hope and pray that we're not going to be facing that degree of recession soon. As crazy as this is to say, I hope it's only as bad as 2007 and 8. I hope it's less bad, of course, but I don't think it's going to be less bad. I really think that because of the timing, because of the war situation in Ukraine, because of energy uncertainty with the way Russia is behaving under Vladimir Putin, that we're going to have a lot of challenges in the coming future. So when it comes to your finances, take action, get yourself some real estate, get one single rental house in your neighborhood or 15, 20 minutes away, and start taking advantage of this type of investment that will cover you in both the up and down markets. And everybody, if you want to call in, all you have to do, dial 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. If you want to send me an email, that's trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. If you have anything you want to share about the stock market, if you've got something that you like to share maybe anonymously, feel free to send an email. If you've got a positive experience to share from the stock market, I would love to hear it. If you've got a challenging experience from the stock market, I'd love to hear it. Or if you straight up hate stocks, want nothing to do with them ever again, that's something that I would like to hear about as well. If you're willing to share that experience, give us a call at 281-558-5738. Now, no matter what's happening during our middle years or our early adult years, anything before retirement years, we're going to be approaching retirement sooner or later. And the current average retirement age is 62 at this time. And people are living in the United States right around 79 years on average. Women tend to live 2 or 3 years longer. So women are really right around 82, and men are more around 77, 78. But right around 80 years is the average lifespan. So people are living right around 18 years in retirement if they start living on their retirement from age 62. Now, you're going to be at a point then where you cannot work anymore or you don't want to work. And living off of Social Security plus savings is not going to be enough for most people, because most people are going to be living off of just $2,500 a month. This is considering the median savings of $172,000, and this is considering Social Security added on top of that. So $2,500 a month before taxes that's $30,000 a year. So $30,000 a year it's very, very below average income-wise. The average income we look at in the United States is hovering right around $60,000, which is pretty good in the world. It's actually extremely good, since there are still lots of people that live in poverty around the world that have nowhere near that amount. But when people are thinking about retirement, I don't think they're envisioning a lifestyle of just $30,000 a year. I relayed this story a while ago about when I used to work at Total Wine, and I was in the Chardonnay section helping a customer, and I always qualify their purchase today by asking, how much are you looking to spend today? Which is a very, very important phrase to ask, because you need to identify, are they here for a special occasion? Are they here to impress somebody? Or are they just grabbing a bottle for daily drinking, which will be right around 10 bucks. And this man, who didn't even look that old, but after I asked that question, he said, well, I'm retired, I can't buy expensive bottles. Like, that didn't make any sense to me. That statement is completely contrary to everything that I've been taught and everything that I believe in. And I hope if you're listening to the show, this should be something that you're thinking about, and maybe you already believe in, that you don't want to be the person in a wine store saying you have to buy cheap bottles because you're retired. You know, screw that. You want to be the person in retirement that's buying whatever you want, traveling the world, doing all the fun stuff that you couldn't do when you were working. Get your plans and financial future in order so you don't have to make comments like that.
Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Let's talk about getting started in real estate, because being less exposed to real estate since we were kids than to stocks has meant that most of us are not familiar with how it works, or we have a very specious understanding of how it operates, because we've probably watched some HGTV, or we've done a quick YouTube search and gotten a couple snazzy videos about it. And we have a general idea of how it works, but those videos and those shows are not going to really show you the in and out. And I don't really know why they don't do that, because I would love for them to do that on a regular basis and educate people on investing. But for some reason, that's not a thing. Like, there's all these educational shows for kids. that teach them about math, science, physics, government, but there aren't really shows on teaching kids how to invest and make money, which is extremely odd, very unusual, and I think that that's something that would definitely need to be changed so people can actually more effectively transition from the middle class to the upper class. And a lot of people get irked at the notion of class when they're in any financial position, but that's what we're really looking at. When it comes down to it, person's position in life is most effectively measured by the amount of wealth that they build, the amount of cash flow they generate, because that's the number that comes from how you're helping and serving other people. And we can make that sound like a really mushy, gushy, emotional point, but it's not just a feel-good position. It's the fact. Now, there's going to be pushback when people say that because they're thinking about the exceptions to the rule. You know, they're thinking about the bad people that make money, the thieves, the organized criminals, the less than moral CEOs. But you can't just think about something like that with just the exceptions. And if that's what you're focused on, is maybe that what's holding you back from deciding to open your business or start investing in real estate? Like, do people really think that they're going to end up becoming like some wicked boss or wicked rich person and act like money changes everybody? You know, I don't buy that personally. But we're dealing with class. And when you look at the way that the successful countries operate, we've created a class system that has a middle class. The middle class is the most important class. If your country doesn't have a middle class, your country is a disaster because you don't have a transition point where people from the lower class can achieve enough success to get into the upper class. Or you don't have the opportunity to take care of your people enough that they can even live in middle class lifestyle. That's not good. That is the classic serfdom style of living where you have the nobles at the top and you have the toiling people and the workers at the bottom that are not able to make a difference for themselves because they literally can't. The middle class is the most important thing that makes the American economy run successfully. You have this huge, very, very wealthy overall faction of society that's able to transition into the upper class if they invest correctly, if they open a business, if they do the actions needed, and if someone from the lower class wants to get into middle class, they can do so as well, and then they could even go into the upper class. But you have to have that transition point. You have to be able to enact policies that allow the middle class to stay strong. So it's very unfortunate when down markets come because the people that end up having to foot the bill, it's overwhelmingly the middle class. The people that end up suffering these losses in the stock market that actually impact them significantly are overwhelmingly in the middle class. And by the way, who has the most income but the least amount of tax benefits on that income? The middle class. Whenever you're investing in something like real estate and you have hundreds of thousands or millions in assets, you've got all of these resources that allow you to defer taxes, cut your tax amounts through depreciation, this, that, and the other, because the people that make the laws in this country design it to be the fairest to people that invest in real estate. Because in case you did not know, but the number one investment of somebody in Congress is real estate. And we're talking on both sides of the aisle. We're talking about Republicans and Democrats. Everybody loves real estate. So it's no surprise that they end up making the laws the fairest for people in real estate. And depreciation is one of those things. The 1031 tax-deferred exchange is one of those things. And somebody does not have to be a millionaire already to take advantage of the tax benefits. Whenever you get income out from a piece of real estate, you're going to put it into a depreciating form that says this thing from day one is going to value of zero after 29 and a half years. So that value is cut out from your income each year. So whatever is left, that's what you're taxed on. And in some cases, on some assets, that could mean you're taxed on next to nothing or nothing. This is not like a W-2 job or a 1099 job where you're taxed the full amount with no significant benefits. I mean, we talk about dependents maybe, but that's not really a tax benefit because that benefit is still going to be eaten up by what you have to do to spend to keep this person healthy and alive. You know, your child, your infant, that's not really a tax benefit. That's a minor concession at best. Now, I'm looking at some of this information that talks about the short sale that happened in 2008 and 9. And really the main reason why it's risky is because your losses, if you ended up investing in something that went up instead of down, your loss could be infinite. There's no limit. Whereas if you have a stock and you buy and you were just expecting it to go up, you know, your loss would be whatever that amount is from that amount to maybe zero, which is theoretically possible, but probably not going to happen. But whatever the difference is from that loss is what your loss will be. So if you really want to invest in the stock market still, you might want to start looking into the short selling because it's probably going to be very lucrative for people that know how to do it here in the near future, just like they did in 2008 and 9. It's very, very challenging, very risky, but if that's what you're going to do and you're going to continue to invest in stocks, I mean, your choices are pretty clear. Sell now, cut your losses, ride it out, and lose the money now and suffer through that experience, or start looking into something like the Big Short. And there's going to be people that are looking into this now that are going to be doing this and taking this very seriously. But what is your alternative at this point? Are you just going to sit and wait and just hope that this is going to work out in your favor? Probably not going to happen. We already talked about the fact that there were 11 years between the last gap, but the average was about every 6 years. So this stock market issue is going to be coming here very, very soon, relatively speaking, of course. But we have to make sure that we're getting our plans together. Now, by the way, tonight we are having a beginner's action step class at Total Wealth Academy. This is members only. If you have not signed up for it, this will start at 6:30 p.m. So send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com, if you want to sign up for tonight's class, because we are going to be going through the action steps needed to invest in your very first piece of real estate as a flip or a rental, and give you information on finding these properties, give you information about how to sell these properties and how to get pre-approved, what that process is like, everything from step one to step whatever is going to be the last one. I mean, 1 to 10, but I've got 5 tonight that I'm going to show you that are the specific and most concise ways I like to look at it. That's going to help you get started and break out of the fear you have of investing in real estate. Because if you haven't invested in real estate yet, something is holding you back. You have to start doing research and taking action, and that's exactly what we do here at Total Wealth Academy. So if you want to come out and visit us tomorrow night, we will have a sample class at 6:30. Just send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate it, and I will see y'all next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Happy Wednesday, y'all.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.